It's official. The Kyoto Accord is dead in Canada.
Canada.
Painted black.
Carbon black.
What kind of greenhouse gas reduction begins by violating an international climate treaty and then promising to emit even more carbon dioxide? That plan is called Turning the Corner, announced April 27th by Canadian Environment Minister John Baird of the Conservative Party. Baird says Canadians are dumping 35% more greenhouse gases now than in 1990. He blames all that not on Canadian energy gluttony, but on the previous government under the Liberal Party. According to Baird, previous lack of progress makes reducing greenhouse gases now too expensive, too harmful for the growing Canadian economy. An echo chamber from the Bush White House, perhaps. If the Liberals aren't to blame, then obviously the environmentalists are, in the world according to John Baird.
We have a group of environmentalists who want nothing short of perfection, and we group of industry who want nothing more than the status quo. Well, at some point, government's job is to lead. And
This is tremendous.
This reminds me
of the 1990 liberals who were taking a middle path. Environmentalists say that they want survival, not perfection.
The reality is that over 10 years we haven't been able to get anything done because they've been demanding perfection.
So, the atmosphere be damned, crank up the public relations machines to blow more hot air. The next generations can suffer the ravages of climate change. Minister Baird is a study in the power of persuasion. Here, questioned by Avi Lewis of the CBC, Minister Baird admits that emissions will only climb under his plan.
There is absolutely clear explosion in the oil sands, which are the largest growth of greenhouse gas emissions in Canada. Intensity-based targets mean that the absolute emissions can and will go up if production triples, quadruples, or quintuples, as some people are calling for. How can you defend intensity-based targets based on that scenario?
Well, we need to have a growing economy. I mean, if we were to say, use that refinery example in New Brunswick, are we to say no, that the unemployed in New Brunswick cannot get a job because we won't allow that refinery to be built? Are we to say that a new mining operation, a new smelting operation, a new chemical plant wants to be built? Sorry. We don't allow economic growth in this country. We're being honest. We want a strong, growing economy.
Which means strong, growing emissions.
Which means when you have new facilities, the emissions will grow. Which means when you have new facilities, the emissions will grow. The emissions will grow. The emissions will grow.
Canada's greenhouse pollution will increase for the next 5 years. That is the government's plan to tackle climate change.
Our emissions will rise in the first 3 to 5 years.
Even as European countries, unlike Canada, make real cuts in their emissions, Baird claims he is doing the most.
We will do more in the next 13 years than just about any country in the world with the plan that we came forward with.
One sticky point erupts from Canada's tar sands oil operations. The new Conservative Party was formed from a right-wing populist party in the province of Alberta, the nation's oil and gas giant. These oil buccaneers fought Kyoto all the way, denied that climate change was happening, and then denied that humans were responsible. The Conservatives still count on big donations from the fossil fuel sector. They shy away from any limit on Canadian greenhouse gas emissions. The new plan sets no limits at all. No cap. It's all flexible and all up and off the charts. The tar sands mining and refining alone are responsible for about 10% of Canada's new emissions since 1990. That doesn't count the global warming impact of burning all that gasoline and oil produced from the oil sands and burned by Americans. If we were tempted to count the real impact of the oil sands on the atmosphere, it would be astronomical. Production at Canada's tar sands is expected to at least triple as the United States seeks a stable energy supply from a friendly country. That makes Canada the carbon pusher for the world's biggest polluter. Minister Baird, knowing where his party funding comes from, represents the fossil fuel industry as surely as President Bush or Vice President Cheney. So the tar sands can go ahead and multiply production, especially since Baird has stolen a nifty dodge from the Bushies. Instead of measuring actual carbon pollution, his plan demands only so-called intensity targets.
Our plan doesn't give any special deal to the oil and energy sector in Alberta. They're going to be required to immediately begin to reduce their emissions by 6% a year. By 2010, they'll have to have them down by 18%, and then a continuous improvement of 2% a year. That's a tough plan. I don't think there's any country in the world that's regulating that tough standards.
But the minister is not saying that the oil and gas industry will reduce their total emissions by 18% of their 1990 levels, or even of their 2006 levels, because he is talking intensity targets. So they will reduce their emissions per barrel of oil or gas produced by 18%. Great, they're more efficient per barrel. But if they triple the number of barrels they produce, well, you can imagine the result. Under this fine formula, total emissions can increase, even while the minister claims great reductions. Here is the way this scam works. If you produce a car engine, you must reduce the amount of greenhouse gases required to make this motor by 20% by 2020, 13 years from now. But, and this is a huge loophole, you can double or triple your production of engines. Each one will create 20% less pollution, and yet your overall pollution will more than double. It is a sleight of hand that led Al Gore, who knows a little about these things, to say this at a Toronto Green Festival.
And I'm hearing that a reduction in intensity is going to be presented to the Canadian people as a legitimate policy. In my opinion, it is a complete and total fraud. It is designed to mislead the Canadian people.
Intensity targets are a gift to the oil and gas producers. They can increase their efficiency, especially since they have had practically no limits up until now, and still double or triple their actual greenhouse gas emissions. Here is Julia Langer of the World Wildlife Fund speaking to CTV News.
Let's pick apart this data. You've been spun a serious line here. This is fun with numbers. The way they have put it, 20% reduction by 2020, they're counting according to a baseline which nobody uses. If you calculate that based on the internationally recognized baseline, we're still going to be above 1990 levels in 2020. Nowhere near our Kyoto target. Our Kyoto target would be more than a dozen years off. The 18% number, that's an emission intensity figure. So in other words, they're going to ask industry to reduce their intensity, not their emissions, just how fast they pollute. So they'll slow that down. And what it is business as usual. There is no significant improvement from this announcement.
Meanwhile, the politicians say they have cut emissions by 20% of something. It is a lie, and a vicious lie, that will cause more deaths and suffering all over the world to humanity and to the animals and plants of this earth.
Leave the floor to someone else.
We are allowing.
Let me play you this.
We will allow more plants to be built. We will allow expansion in the natural resources sector, in the energy sector. We are allowing that.
That is not all. In order to permit new polluting industries to flourish in Canada, and Minister Baird mentioned specifically a refinery for the billionaire Irving family of New Brunswick, all new operations will have a 3-year grace period to emit as much as they want, before having to develop more efficiency, before looking at emissions reductions. Wait, there is more. Are you a big polluter in a bind? Can't see a way to reduce your carbon? No problem. Just show your need to pollute, and you get a total exemption from the program. This is a loophole big enough to drive through with one of the top carbon dioxide polluters of the country, the cement industry. They, and anyone else who claims they just can't get by without smokestacks full of carbon, get a free pass. No loophole for you? You still don't actually have to reduce your greenhouse gases. Just make a donation to a new technology fund set up by the federal government. It's cheap at just $15 a ton for carbon dioxide. Nobody knows where that money will actually go. Maybe some of it will be spent on advertising to make us feel green. Of course, there are other ways to get around your emissions problem. You can buy a carbon offset from anybody who the government qualifies as a carbon reducer. You can imagine the giant new bureaucracy required to measure the carbon, the reductions, the certification, the exchanges in this unique, made-in-Canada trading system. Think of the gun control registry that cost billions and still doesn't work, or the efficiency of the passport office on a grand scale. This all-Canadian carbon trading system that exists only in the minister's mind at the moment, and could be years away, if it ever comes to pass, doesn't connect with any other in the world, and so stands outside the existing European system and the financial incentives of Wall Street. It sounds good and patriotic. We'll run everything ourselves, as if the atmosphere could be packaged up. We'll have a Canadian atmosphere, and there will be 186 other atmospheres, one for every country, and that will solve the problems of global climate change in some storybook land. Meanwhile, John Baird chops up numbers in new ways that make old lies sound very convincing. For example, unlike the rest of the world, he measures greenhouse gas reductions starting in 2006. So a 20% Canadian cut by 2020, using Baird's in-house rules, means Canada will still be 11% above 1990 levels. We haven't reduced at all. Every other country in the world uses 1990 as their standard, but Canada goes its own way, to the complete confusion of the voters and our international friends. All of this sleight of hand and bluster hides another key point. Because the Conservatives don't have enough votes in Parliament to ram through this climate cover-up, they have dumped their own climate bill, bypassed the elected representatives completely, and intend to do it all by regulation. Instead of bringing the plan to a vote, where they would certainly be defeated, bureaucrats will just make new rules, and it shall be so.
We've discovered that the government knew all along that it had no intention of ever being bound by its own Clean Air Act. It came to committee, the minister said, we will abide by the work of all of the parliamentarians, including the opposition parties, and we will come together, we will make this real. What we've now seen is that Bill C-30, which should be debated in the House of Commons, as well as this plan, but we've really seen all along it was a ruse and a ploy to buy time because they knew they would never accept the results of the majority of Canadians expressed through the majority of parliamentarians in the House of Commons.
Democracy is not the only thing being killed off as we turn the corner. So is the international plan for climate change, the Kyoto Protocol. Weak as it is, only the United States and Australia have been outlaws in this international plan. Now Canada, which led the world in formulating a Kyoto and a follow-up international law, will break that law. A treaty we signed. We don't even try to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions in reality. Kyoto is dead in Canada. Let the world know. And what does this say to China, India, Brazil, and all the developing countries? A rich and technologically rich country, Canada is choosing more dirty production over the future climate of the world. Future negotiations for the after Kyoto period following 2012 may be seriously jeopardized by this grand plan to increase Canada's pollution of the atmosphere. The whole problem is put most succinctly by the Liberal environment critic David McGuinty in an interview from CTV News.
Because we've just announced to the world that we're abandoning our role in this international treaty. And this is shameful because for 15 years Canada has led the process.
On the same station, Louise Como of the Sage Foundation explains how the Canadian economy will be left behind with our fossil industries.
The Canadian economy is more at risk from going for weak targets on climate change. In fact, the reality is that the tougher the target, the more you drive innovation and the faster the costs come down. What we've done is actually protect Canada from the competition that's coming in a carbon-constrained world. We're not participating in carbon markets. We're protecting old industries. We're not creating new industries. We are putting the economy at risk from not moving forward more aggressively. The opportunity on energy efficiency, conservation, renewable energy, new technologies is enormous, and this country is not even in the game. From an economic point of view, it is those economies that are more energy efficient, more carbon neutral, if you will, that will be the most competitive in the future. And Canada has essentially positioned itself to be a carbon generating economy and puts our entire future at risk.
Minister Baird disputes this, saying Canada is a leader in carbon capture and sequestration, and we have a pilot plant to create biofuels using the celluloid process. Great. But both are research projects without a single commercial application anywhere. Listening to countless interviews, there was a loud absence of any solar, wind, or real renewable energy. Where is the tide power? Where are the giant wind farms? It is a fossil fuel vision that Dick Cheney could love. Respected Canadian Green spokespeople are horrified. The 70-year-old famous nature broadcaster David Suzuki expressed his disappointment on camera with Minister Baird.
A disappointment, John. You know, what you promised was a long way from what you delivered.
He promised all kinds of great things, and it's been a big disappointment to see what it is. It's all smoke and mirrors, and what he's going to do is allow industry to continue to increase their emissions.
Here is John Bennett from the Climate Action Network.
Intensity-based targets are a form of fakery in which the government and industry can claim they're putting out regulations and meeting it, but in fact emissions will continue to rise.
Well, in terms of the targets for industry, which are the most important part, I'm even surprised at how bad they are. I had very low expectations, and they're even worse than I could imagine. Well, basically what the minister has done, this government has done, is given industry in Canada a get-out-of-jail-free pass.
Elizabeth May, leader of the Green Party and past executive director of the Sierra Club of Canada, was outraged.
That's called spin, and we've seen a lot of it around this issue. But the truth is that the Kyoto targets were designed as a modest first step that must be achieved soon, because the real targets are for at least 80% reductions below 1990 levels by 2050. This government's just playing games to try to avoid the certainty of an electoral defeat, because Canadians understand that climate matters, their children's future matters, and playing games with their children's future is so despicable that I don't know how Mr. Baird can face a camera and start saying that this is all good news for the environment. This is shameful. A huge irony here that Canadians, I think, will be shocked to realize is that if a coal-fired power plant is shut down, that doesn't do anything under this plan because it's based on intensity. So if you actually eliminate production, that doesn't count as a credit because it's by unit of production that the target has been set. So it's entirely about public relations, it's entirely about electioneering, and it does absolutely nothing towards reaching our climate targets. It actually is a climate disaster plan.
And of course, we had Al Gore, who has awakened millions of people to the extreme dangers we face when the climate is destabilized by our pollution.
In my opinion, it is a complete and total fraud. It is designed to mislead the Canadian people.
These are the darkest of times for Canadians.
Now these are, on the one hand, these are affluent times. But on the other hand, these are dark times for life on Earth.
Where we hope to help the world, now our government is playing the carbon devil. We openly plan to become carbon terrorists to the atmosphere of the world. Our elected representatives, who negotiated a real climate plan called C30, have been silenced. Count Canada out. We have joined the parade of climate wreckers. That is our official policy, announced by John Baird, the most persuasive, active, almost charismatic young environment minister in our history, the silver tongue that sank the Canadian dream of helping, not harming the world. This is Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. Find more at our website at www.ecoshock.org.
Canada.
Painted black.
Carbon black.
This is a very, very tragic day for Canada. This is the day that, as many of us had feared since Mr. Harper came to government, this is a government and a prime minister who never understood that we had to reach our Kyoto targets, who never believed in the Kyoto Protocol as a legally binding treaty to which Canada must fulfill our responsibilities. As of today, it's now official. the government of Canada is the only government of 165 nations within the Kyoto Protocol to officially announce we have no intention of even trying to reach our targets. It's really very shameful.